Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to conduct our lesson this evening in basic theology. Amen? So our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in to the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what
together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
And you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, We proclaim you now. Majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence, fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Lord, work on us tonight.
rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, let's take it up. Y'all, take it up. For you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in basic theology. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
This is for my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. Sippin' on the same drink, water change, same cheap boys, same kush, smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same honey, same front, like you got paper, it make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a deadbeat to his kids, but he's so fly, 90% of his conversation was all lies, he won't shoot for the price of one, you and your sister likewise, so he buy a drink to get you drunk,
name rocking on your suicide. Every opportunity get you with your bad vibe. Now you both ain't controlled by another power. Quiet as kept every thug up in the club plot with no threat. I used to plot too, I must confess it wasn't right. But that's the price I took to pay. Every night she played.
She played the
life don't come with no proposal. Only believe having what you see, and only 2% of what you hear. I pray your strength is
with you.
I know Jesus in your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt you deceived love from the start. Ever tired your thumb, sipping on your drink, sitting at the bar, 5 drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping it low to the floor. Misrepresent everything you stand for. Showing the games you sold, not told. Remember you reap what you sold.
Let the people see just who you wanna be. And every night you shine, just
can't
like a superstar. It's half a life
the
that's played.
And the ballers don't care for
you. You trust your walk, your tongue.
Kind of
your who
fight.
You think you are.
She plays the street life. Cause there's no place she can go. Street life. It's the only life she knows. Street life. And there's a thousand cards to play.
Oh, in the street life.
You play your life.
Oh, no, no, no.
He'll text you tonight. Forget you tomorrow. One night stand in the back of the car instead of the man of respect. You let him trick your heart. You surviving on the edge. Hope you find a baller bouncing around from club to car. He only like you enough when you getting it up. Your friendship can't be taught. So when he sex you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real quick to get me off.
Let the people see
what a real sister
thinks that. And every night you shine,
what a real sister thinks
just like a superstar. It's half a life that's played. Attempts and masquerade. You trust your walk, your tongue.
The ladies are
your
female,
who you think
but
you
the heart
are.
Is
she plays the street life. Cause there's no place she can go.
No place she can go.
For us all, remember patience, race, death, and all the money, material things. Cause we never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship Son, you remember Jesus gave his life. And he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen. So keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sent back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to world of the living. Come to Jesus' name.
Until you play your life away.
Jesus loves you. And I love you too. Come to world of the living.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled Renewed Vision. Praise God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 10 through 18, and then we're going to drop over to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Amen. It says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime and as a sign
that he has been dedicated to the Lord. His hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." In that case, Eli said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Now let's go to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is Hannah's prayer of praise. "Then Hannah prayed, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God.'" May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from 1 Samuel 2 and 1. And it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high." To God be the glory. The writer says, again, the title is Renewed Vision. The writer says, "After a painful minor surgery on my left eye, my doctor recommended a vision test. With confidence, I covered my right eye and read each line on the chart with ease. Covering my left eye, I grasped. How could I not realize I had been so blind? While adjusting to new glasses and renewed vision, I thought of how daily trials often caused me to be spiritually nearsighted, focusing only on what I could see up close. My pain and every changing circumstances, I became blind to the faithfulness of my eternal and unchanging God. With such a limited perspective, hope became an unattainable blur." 1 Samuel 1 tells the story of another woman who fell to recognize God's trustworthiness. While focusing on her current anguish, uncertainty, and loss, for years, Hannah had endured childlessness and endless torment from Penera, the other wife of her husband, Echaniah. Hannah's husband adored her, but the contentment evaded her. One day, she prayed with bitter honesty. When Eli, the priest, questioned her, she explained her situation. As she left, he prayed that God would grant her request in 1 Samuel 1:17. Though Hannah's situation did not change immediately, she walked away with confident hope in 18. Her prayer in 1 Samuel 2:1-2 reveals a shift in Hannah's focus even before her circumstances improved. Hannah's renewed vision changed her perspective and her attitude. She rejoiced in the ongoing presence of God, her rock and everlasting hope. Praise be to God. Question: how will focusing on God's unchanging nature instead of your circumstances give you greater hope? Think about it. And where are you currently struggling with spiritual nearsightedness? God, please renew our vision so we can focus on your constant presence and live with an eternal perspective in all circumstances. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our call-in number is 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be conducting our class this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to participate or join us, again, the call-in number is 319-527-6204, and you can give your thoughts or comment on what the writer is conveying. Amen? Praise God on Christian theology. So again, at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. To God be the glory.
Yeah. fight for me. All right, things will be all right. All right, things will be all right. You'll never leave, you know, forsake you. Don't let your fears overtake you. Whatever you need, he can fulfill it. Take a broken heart and rebuild it. From morning to dancing, here's your chance. If you just believe.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families. And we pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays on Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and you can call in your prayer requests at this time. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen.
Oh, Thank you. to sing. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your craft. Break out your word. You're going to break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Praise be to God again. This concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now we're going to go into our lesson with our very own Barbara Amore, who's going to be conducting our lesson this evening. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Good evening. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. And yourself?
I'm blessed and highly favored, thank you. Is anyone else on the line?
Not yet.
Okay. You want to open in prayer?
Okay. Most precious and heavenly Father, we come this evening to do your will and your purpose. We ask that you bless each and everyone that's on the line or on the internet this evening. Touch them in a mighty special way. We ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to see, hear, and perceive what thus says the Lord. Let this evening be all about you, and open our minds to what the writer is saying in the basic theology this evening, Lord God, and help us to get a clear and better understanding of what he is saying. And we ask, bless our pastor, bless First Lady, bless all the fivefold ministers that participate with this Pray One for Another broadcast. We ask that you bless their homes, bless their families, bless their finances, and Lord God, most of all, bless our speaker this evening and let her, strengthen her to bring forth this mighty word this evening or this lesson to have it to be what you would have it to be, Lord God. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna go back to chapter 21 and part 6, section B, talking about background ministry. We had left off at Daniel 8:13-26. I'm going to read that again. And see what happens, okay?
Okay.
So background ministry. Angels have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth, which the church benefits from today. Daniel 7:15-27, we read. 8:13-26 was the homework assignment to get an understanding of that. And did you get any better understanding of 8:13-26?
Oh, no, I didn't even read it. I'm sorry.
I didn't know we had homework. I thought we had did that one with the last time we was here. But anyway, it was Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to read, Daniel 8, 26 through, 13 through 26. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, and that might help us.
Okay.
I think it was said that this was talking about the devil, but I said I thought more it was talking about Jesus. But we'll see.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Starting at 13, then I overheard two holy angels talking. One asked, this is 8:13, how long is what we see here going to last? The abolishing of daily worship, this devastating judgment against sin, the kicking around of God's holy people and the sanctuary. The other answered, over the course of 2,300 sacrifices, evening and morning, then the sanctuary will be set right again. While I, Daniel, was trying to make sense of what I was seeing, suddenly there was a human-like figure standing before me. Then I heard a man's voice from over by the Ulai Canal calling out, Gabriel, tell this man what is going on. Explain the vision to him. He came up to me, but when he got close, I became terrified and fell face down on the ground. He said, I understand that this vision has to do with the time of the end. As soon as he spoke, I fainted, my face in the dirt. But he picked me up and put me on my feet. And then he continued, I want to tell you what is going to happen as the judgment days of wrath wind down, for there is going to be an end to all this. The double-horned ram you saw stands for the two kings of Medes and Persians. The billy goat stands for the kingdom of the Greeks. The huge horn on its forehead is the first Greek king. The four horns that sprouted after it was broken off are the four kings that come after him, but without his power. As their kingdoms cool down and rebellions heat up, a king will show up, hard-faced, a master trickster. His power will swell enormously. He'll talk big, high-handedly, doing whatever he pleases, knocking off heroes and holy ones left and right. He'll plot and scheme to make crime flourish, and oh, how it will flourish. He'll think he's invincible and get rid of anyone who gets in his way. But when he takes on the prince of all princes, he'll be smashed to bits, but not by human hands. This vision of the 2,300 sacrifices, evening and morning, is accurate but confidential. Keep it to yourself. It refers to the far future. Amen?
Amen.
So any thoughts on that? We got a little better understanding, maybe?
He's talking about the about Jesus, right?
I don't know. We're discussing it, so I don't
know. Hold on. Amen. Okay. But, okay, so... As Gabriel approached the prisoner, isn't he talking about the end times?
Yeah, that's what I read. It says he's talking about the end times. It refers to the future, the far future.
All right.
Let's go on.
We have... two more people on. Mother's on, and I don't know if that's Pastor or Nadine.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome.
All right. Good evening.
We're at part six in relation to the church. Section B, the background ministry. And we were reading Daniel 8, 13 through 26. We're not quite clear on that, so we're going to go through Daniel 9, 20,
27. Where y'all at? Relationship, church, 5, 6. Okay, got you.
I mean, in chapter 21, section 6, in relation to the church, part B, background ministry.
Yeah, I got you.
You see it?
Yeah, right.
Angels have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth, which the church benefits from today. So we didn't really get a clear understanding of Daniel 8, 13 through 26. So rather than delve into that, we're going to go into section Daniel 9, 20 through 27. Does anyone want to read that?
Daniel, wait a minute. You said Daniel 7, 15.
We're moving on to Daniel 9.
Okay, gotcha. So it says Gabriel's announcement and presentation of the seven sets of 70 sets of seven. Right. Now, I was still speaking and praying and confessing sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my plea for Yahweh, my God, on behalf of the holy mountain of God. And I was still speaking in prayer. And the man, Gabriel, I had seen in the vision previously in my words, touched me at the time of the evening offering. And he instructed me, and he spoke with me, and he said, Daniel, I have now come out to teach you understanding at the beginning of your pleas of mercy. A word went out, and now I have come to declare it, for you are highly esteemed. And so consider the word, understand the vision. Seven.
27.
See, that was Daniel, and the angel had been communicating and revealing this truth to him. Revelation.
Not clear.
The angel gave it. Okay, is that good?
Yes.
You were going in and out. It's hard to understand what you responded to.
I said the angel was Gabriel, and he was given communicating revelation knowledge to Daniel.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Revelation 1 and 1, 22 and 6 and 8. Nadine on the line?
She might be out to it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his slaves the things which must take place in a short time, and communicated it by serving it through his angel to his slave, John. Okay, go
ahead. I'm sorry, go on.
The angel was communicating it to John, I guess, to his slave. The revelation
right.
of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, show to his slave things which must take place.
All right.
If we had 22 and 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophet, has sent his angels to show his slaves the things which must take place in a short time. Amen.
And
Paul Anyway, Paul calls himself a slave. He was chosen by God, put on display. What he says. Anyway. Is that good?
Of course.
And you said eight, right? I did eight. And I, John, am the one who heard and who saw these things. And when I heard and saw these, saw them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed these things to me. Right? So you see the angels communicating and revealing a revelation. The church benefits from, you know.
Right. So it all comes to the summarizing that the angels communicated the truth to the church through various prophets or apostles. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go on to part C, specific ministry, prayer request. They bring answers to prayer, Acts 12, 5 through 10. Mother, would you get that? Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then Herod would have brought him forth. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door came to the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." So he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Amen. What do you think about that?
Well, Peter was making a prayer to God without ceasing. He was making a prayer unto God. I thought that was spectacular because Peter thought it was a vision. He didn't really think it was an angel.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yeah.
Why was he praying? He was in jail. Why was he praying?
Maybe he was praying to get out of prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came on him and lighted on him in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. His chains, he was in chains.
Anybody else want to answer that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It says, thus Peter was kept in the prison. But prayer, and it says, but. So even though he was in the prison, it says, but prayer was fervently being made to God by the church for him. So it
right.
seems
church prayed for him.
That it seems as though to me, it seems as though intercession was being made and God interceded because of the prayers of first show how important it is for us okay. to come together as a church and pray.
Okay, let me ask you this. That's correct. You know, that's right. But my question
so
is,
that's what I
why
see in our verse 5. In verse 5 of Acts 12, verse 5, it says, Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer, it says, but prayer was God by the church for him. So that seems as though
now,
God interceded. It was
my question is, praying for him. He was in jail. Why were they praying for himself?
I'm sorry, what are you asking now?
I said we understand that. He was in prison. He was in chains. Why was the church praying for Peter so?
Listen, I haven't read past 5. That
okay.
would be either be. Let me just say this: that would either be preceding it, something that happened preceding. But from the text that I have here in front of me, it just said 5 through 10. All I know is that the church was, you know, praying for us and God interceded. Now. So
okay.
back to, if we check back.
Well, that's good. I just want to answer it. It's not really that lengthy.
Is the answer
what?
Is the answer?
Have,
what's the answer, though?
Was it because...
She has opinion.
I would like to know the answer, though. I mean, like,
was
answer,
it because the reason why he was in prison was Herod, the king, was going to... he put him in prison, but his grandson wanted
excuse
him.
Me. My question
ooh, yeah.
was, why was the church praying for him so strenuously?
Well, it's the text. That's what I'm trying to say. Let me look at the text, because the only way I could basically come to the text.
Okay, I'll give you the answer.
Through the text. Like, if it's in the preceding text, then I could find it if I just read it. But you
no,
know,
it's
saying,
in 6. It's in 6.
If it's
the time came
5.
For Herod to bring him out for the kill. So they were going to kill Peter. That's why the church was praying for him so strenuously. They were going to kill
him. So you're saying that, hold on for a minute. Let me just see if I can see it for myself here.
12:6.
Give me a second. So, you said it was in what?
Acts 12:6. Why they were praying for him.
All right.
His reason 12. For being in jail and in chains was because they were going to kill him. So the church knew that, and they were praying for him.
So
they
on the very night Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The guards in the front door were watching over the prison. So that's what it says. It says, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door watching over the prison. So, let me just, it was started at 5, it went to where? To 11, right?
It went to 10.
Okay, 5 to 10. So, so behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone. So here, on this, on the very night, all right, so first it says here, all right, when he had arrested him, so the point is, well, the question would be, well, why did Peter get arrested? Now, about
no,
the time,
question,
him, the king left, laid hands
I'm gonna
on
I'm going to reiterate. Question.
Long to the church to do them harm, and he had James, the brother of John, executed with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now, there were the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, put him in prison, turning him over to the fourth squad of soldiers, spot him in tending only after Passover to bring him before the king. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made God intensely by the church. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, that was after the Passover, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains. God for watching over the prison. And behold, so this is when he left, so he never stood trial. So the thing is that here, that the church made intercession for him, like the church where he was, wherever the church was, Peter was over at that time. Because Peter was in Jerusalem at that. And so therefore, Paul had to travel to Jerusalem. It was there with Brother James. They were still in synagogue, I think, at this point. So the point is that here, the church... So that's the most important thing, because Peter was kept in prison, but the prayer for him was being made to God intensely by Jesus. So they was praying. They was praying to God for him because they saw what happened to John was executed, brother of John, James.
James.
The brother of John was executed, and they saw what happened. So they was Peter was arrested, and they were. So this is Herod. So that means that the night that he was going to bring him forward. So what I understand is, so what is that? So how does that relate to what you're saying, Barbara?
My question was, why was he arrested and what was about to happen to him? Not why was he arrested, but what was all the prayer about? Why were they praying so strenuously for Peter?
They were praying strenuously for him because they saw what happened to the brother of James, the brother
of
John.
What happened to him? What happened
to him?
He
got executed. The sword.
Okay, so what
like,
was going to happen?
Obviously, they were being persecuted. Herod, you know, now about the time
so what
Herod
was
king,
to Peter?
Saint.
He was going to get executed also.
Thank you. That's simple. That's all it is. It's just he was going to be killed. Okay.
He was arrested.
So the answer
he was arrested. Peter was, you know, he was. So they saw what happened to John. That's why they were so intensely, you know, he wasn't just arrested. Somebody else was killed. So they like, oh, man, he's
How
next.
Was John killed? What happened to John?
He was executed with a sword.
How was he killed?
That's what the text says. It says in verse 2, it says, and he had James, the brother of John, executed with a sword.
With a sword.
That's right. So he the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church. So he snatched some of those who were in the church. So they was in an uproar. I mean, they was in an uproar. I mean, this is
and knowing
this
that
bike,
Peter
so.
Was
imagine
Peter.
We have in church and somebody come into church and start snatching folks up and arresting them, and then all of a sudden one of us get killed, and you're like, oh my God, pastor's next. You see, I mean, people gonna be in an uproar. They gonna that's why they were praying so intensely, because they were in an uproar. They were you know, this was some real serious drama. You know, it's, some things are easier said than done. But when you're actually going through this kind of drama, you know, I mean, this is real stuff. This is like, you know, they're being persecuted. You know, I mean, like these are military people coming in here snatching folks up with guns and whatnot. This ain't
no not guns. They didn't have guns back then. They
had swords, but right. I mean, like they were cutting folks up, man. It wasn't no. It was brutal. It was bloody and it was brutal, and people was crying and you know, it was chaos. That's why they were praying intensely. You know, like when you pray to God like that, God gonna hear your prayer. You know, when your life is threatened, pray to God. God will hear your prayer. Because you ain't playing. You ever been had your life threatened and pray to God your life? You know what that's like? And you facing death. Call on God, you really call on him. Just like an instinct. Call on God. Call on him. But they were playing instinct. God had a different plan for Peter. God had a different plan for Peter. That wasn't Peter's time. That's what we see in the Bible. God is in control. He even allowed some of them to know when their time was coming. There's been an angel of death. Wonder about the next life. Your time will come cross over to the other side. The angel comes to get you. Time to go. It gives you hope. Isn't that, doesn't that give you hope when you think about God? You're a child of God. Don't that give you hope to know that God is with you?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
This is church.
Amen.
Amen.
Trust it. You know, you read this stuff and it's like it makes you realize the unknown, the things that
lesson
you
is
make
over. Pastor Wiggins, the lesson is
huh?
over. Is the lesson
no,
over?
No, she's not. Sister Barbara, please shut me up.
I'm waiting for you to finish. I
mean, just
take control,
you know, girl. We all love
your
teacher.
If you allow me to.
Everybody loves the way you teach. They all love your teaching.
Well, I love your teaching too, Pastor Wiggins.
I know, but we all love this.
I love teaching. All your teachers.
She's doing a great job. Sometimes you got to move
Thank
with
you.
The spirit is moving
okay.
in that direction. You gotta see it.
So we gotta go to part C, section 2, talking about yeah. salvation. They aid in winning people to Christ. Acts 8 and 26.
Okay,
evangelist. You would take that. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna take that, Apostle? Acts 8 and 26.
Yeah,
says,
now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go toward the south on the road that goes down Jerusalem to Gaza." That's where all the stuff that's fighting now in Gaza. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
where they're fighting over in
right.
Israel today.
Right, Hamas.
See that? You see it?
And
see Israel, that?
Right.
Yes.
Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So angel spoke to Philip and told him to go down there. And when he got down there, he was going to meet an Ethiopian that's going to take the gospel to Ethiopia. Do you know that Ethiopia is the only country that wasn't colonized? It was some Vikings.
Where
is it? What you want? Yep, they're the only African country that wasn't colonized. They fought off
okay.
the Italians. They fought
okay.
them. They wasn't having
so,
it. Period.
Ethiopia
Get
is in Africa. So we're going to look at 10 and 3.
That
Evangelist,
right.
read that, please.
Oh, man.
Acts 10 and 3.
Oh, that did not play.
Amen.
Amen.
One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said, amen.
Amen. So that's not telling us too much there, but they aid in winning people to Christ. So any thoughts about that, evangelist, first?
No, it's just that God uses different people and different things to talk to the prophets
to win people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius was he a prophet?
Cornelius, no.
Okay.
He was just a regular person, I guess.
So the angel won the eunuch because the angel is the one who told Philip to go to the eunuch.
Mm-hmm. That's back in 1826.
So God decided that the eunuch would take it down to the Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. He was Ethiopian, so.
And yeah, he was an Ethiopian eunuch.
He was an
Yeah, he was an Ethiopian eunuch.
Okay, what is a eunuch?
He was a centurion, too.
He was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was someone that could not speak.
Hello, what is a eunuch?
Okay.
They can speak. He was reading the Bible. He could speak.
A
Does
eunuch,
anyone know
a man who has been castrated. Especially
okay, it up. Okay.
Unemployed to guard the women's living areas at an oriental court. So
okay.
he was a eunuch is a man that's been castrated. Some
right.
Christ said some were castrated by men and some are castrated by some
accident.
No, by himself. So I think that points to some are born that way. Some are born,
That must be very painful.
I would imagine so.
Because I know now they have stuff to knock you out and stuff like that. I mean, what did they have then? I mean, people be chopping off people's arms. You know what I mean? without any medication to dull the pain or anything.
Yeah.
That must be very
painful.
But
they had herbs.
Well, I don't know.
So if I may get back in the mix, talking about the eunuch again, what was castrated from the eunuch? Not you, Apostle. What was castrated from the eunuch?
His private part.
Cut off.
I think it was his private part, right?
What part of his private part?
His private part. I'm sorry?
What part of his part?
His penis.
No.
Was the balls?
His testicles, yes, ma'am.
Oh, his testicles? Okay.
Really?
His testicles.
That must be
right.
Very painful.
Many people think
you
it was
in that one.
The penis. But it wasn't the penis, it was the testicle.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Well, at least they let the man hang, man. That's all right. At least
they
let him hang.
So where did you find that part?
I mean, at least he could hang, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Without any kids,
yeah,
but he could hang.
No, we ain't going into that.
He couldn't reproduce. He couldn't make seed, but he could, yeah.
He couldn't reproduce,
still,
but he could still hang, you know.
You couldn't impregnate anybody. Exactly. And yes, I would imagine it was painful, you know, but that's what he...
To the point of no return, you know.
what they do to the African women now, not all of them, but some African women, what they go through.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on that one. That was
painful.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
They ruined them for life, some of them. And a lot of them used to hemorrhage to death.
Right.
And they said in the Sudan, they said they have these women go and do it to themselves.
Uh-huh.
To go to
all
the
right.
river or someplace. Okay, go ahead.
Let's do with this. Number three, not to cut you off, but.
That's all right.
We, this lesson. That's the next one. The reality of Satan. Part three, they observe Christian order, work, and suffering. 1 Corinthians 4:10. Mother, would you get that?
1 Corinthians 4:10.
Corinthians 4.
Christian order, work,
and 11:10. Apostle, get Ephesians 3:10, please.
No problem.
And evangelist, get 1 Peter 1:12. First Corinthians 4:9 is first.
4:9. Well, I think that God has set for us the apostles' last, as it was appointed to death. For we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Amen.
Amen. What does that mean, if anything, to you?
For the Lord has set forth us the apostles last, as it was appointed to death, for we have made a spectacle unto the world. Or we were made a spectacle unto the world. So I guess, I don't know.
Talk about
and
angels.
To angels and to men. So the apostles were made a spectacle of the world, and they were made last. But I think that God has set forth, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. So I believe that this is Paul talking. He's talking about, I'm sorry?
Yeah, Corinthians.
Yeah,
that's cool.
How God have made them a spectacle, and they're last because they're like, you know, we're like servants. We're like servants, as it was appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Why?
So,
like an example, I guess.
Okay, yes. So who are we talking about here? Let me read you what the message says. Let me just listen for 1 second. It seems to me that God has put who bear his message on stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket. We're something everyone stands around and stares at like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop right there. So who does that sound like it's referring to, Mother?
Well, I guess it could be all of us. All of us apostles.
No, we're not all apostles.
For Christ,
we're all disciples.
I'm talking about the apostles, because here he's talking about us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Now, Paul must be talking about himself, and it says ministers and stewards. Seek yourself the world, death of things present. You are Christ's, and Christ is God. And the Lord again knows the thoughts. Okay, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So
who could that be?
I'm just trying to see
where,
you know, who he's talking about. Who's talking about? I guess I have to go back.
Maybe you see it in 4:1.
4:1. Okay. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we are stewards of the mysteries of God.
What does that mean?
Well, God reveals things to us that he might reveal to other people.
But what a steward of the mystery.
Well, stewards is God has given it. God has given it to you. I don't know how to say it. To be a steward, you know, to whatever he's given you, to tend to those things and to keep them. You know what I mean? Like, if he makes you a steward over your finances, over your house or whatever. I don't know how to explain it now.
You're right. In other words, and I don't mean to cut you off, but we are servants.
Yes.
Of Christ. And we are masters of our own thing that he's given us to be in charge of. So we're
stewards of the
word, which is what I believe you read, right? Stewards of the word, of the mystery.
Yes.
So we're in charge of the mystery that he's given to us. We don't understand everything, you know, but we are in charge of that as a leader to bring this message to people. And it says that we who bear this message on, they look at us as though we're on a stage and they don't want to buy a ticket. They, you know, they're looking at you from, they're observing you from afar. They don't want to buy a ticket, but everyone stares around and stares at us. This is the Message Bible. As if we were an accident on the street. They're curious, but they don't necessarily want to come in and buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And the natural man don't understand the things of the Spirit.
Praise
That's
God.
What we are steward over, like the things of the Spirit.
Praise
you know, because
God.
When the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of us, we see things that other people don't see.
Mm-hmm. The
you
mysteries
know what I mean?
Of God.
Things are revealed to us that the natural man is not revealed to the natural man.
And not even looking for it.
Hi, everybody. I'm sorry.
Hi.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
Hi. I don't even know what happened. I don't know what I was doing. All
it's okay.
I know is I'm here.
You're here now.
Like, oh, my God, I'm missing my class.
We're going to go to 11 and 10. That's Evangelist, I think. Who's that? No, that's Evangelist, right?
No, that's Pastor.
11 and 10? No, I gave him a Ephesians 3 and 10.
Where we at? We are two.
You gave me first.
We're part
Peter
three, talking about observing the observation order.
It's my
turn. I gave you Ephesians 3 and 10, Apostle. So, Mother, read 11 and 10.
All right, Ephesians 3 and 10.
So, we're not at you yet, Apostle. We're not at you yet. We're still in 1 Corinthians. Mother, 11 and 10, please.
Okay. 11 and 10.
11 and 10.
Okay. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Amen.
Okay. Any thoughts about that?
I'm sorry? Well, it says before, it says the man, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So evidently this has to do with, I guess, marriage or something. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things mm-hmm. of God. You see, because when a woman is going to get married, God always brings the woman to the man, not the man to the woman.
Sometimes it's reversed, but it's supposed to be the way you're saying. You know,
not to cover.
He decided the wife finds a good thing. It's supposed to be finding her as opposed to her finding him, but it's not always done that way if we want to really be truthful.
So evidently this talks about covering your head. This has to do with covering your head, I see here. For as much as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. You know, when they talk about covering your head, some people think that it's a hat that you put on. But I believe it's your hair. A woman shouldn't be shaving her head. You know, the hair is what covers is your glory. Your hair is your glory.
But
the woman is the glory of the man. And the man is
the glory. Let me read what the message says.
For the woman to have power on her head. The two clauses we propose this verse are perhaps the two difficult passages in the New Testament. And rise to an almost endless variety of interpretation. What is meant first by the woman having power? There have been many, some of them most faithful, that the word power exists. They have crept in instead of other words that take some confidence that Paul may have been exclusive when she goes out in public. For two words, exousia, in accordance with her nature. All explanations, however, which require an alteration in the Greek text of the passage must be set aside. There is no mis-evidence whatever to support any other reading than the ordinary one. Exousian, and two, any alteration of a difficult or usual word would have been naturally into a word that would simply simplify the passage. Whereas here, if alteration has taken place, it has been to insert a word which has increased the obscurity of the difficult passage. See, this is what happens with these type of passages. Because, like, it depends
on
how it was interpreted from the Greek and how it's interpreted. And it's here, like when I did an exegesis on that scripture, I just wanted to share that with you guys because, you know, a lot of times we read it and can misquote a scripture so easily because we don't understand its
right.
origin, because we don't understand its Greek origin.
Exactly, so the interpretation of it
has a lot of different interpretations. It has been maintained that the word exousia here means the sign of power, a well which is the symbol of the husband's power over the wife. The fatal objection to this view, however, is that exousia expresses our own power and not the power exercised by another over us. It is a word frequently used by St. Paul in this sense. Whatever interpretation, therefore, you put upon this passage, it must be consistent with this word being interpreted as meaning some power, when the woman herself has not some power exercised over her.
Okay, can I come in here and just read a little bit of what the message says, and then we're going to go on to Ephesians 3:10?
Get this thing. Man.
Hello?
I can't believe it's so much on it. Go ahead.
Okay, we don't want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Normally it's like short. But, you know, it was a really long one. Sorry.
Thank you. Don't, by the way, read too much into the differences here between men and women. This is 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read 10 through 12, what Mother just read. Neither man, I know she read 10, neither man nor woman can go it alone or claim priority. Man was created first as a beautiful, shining reflection of God. That is true. But the head of a woman's body clearly outshines in beauty the head of her head, which is in quotes, her husband. The first woman came from man, true, but ever since then, every man comes from a woman. And since virtually everything comes from God anyway, let's quit going through these, who first, in quotations again, routine, okay? So we're still talking about observing and the Christian order and all of that and suffering, but mainly the Christian order. Because some people say the man came first, yeah, but he didn't give birth to the woman. He came, how did the woman get here? Nadine, how did the woman get here?
Through the rib of God, the man.
God made her from the earth, right?
No.
He made her with the rib?
He made her with the rib.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First lady's right. What did he do?
He made woman from the rib. Of the man.
He put Adam into a deep sleep,
put him to sleep. And then he took the rib out of Adam and made woman.
Right.
Okay?
He made woman.
And so when Adam saw her, he said, "Whoa, man." that's how we got our name.
He forgot all about the animals. So.
Whoa!
He said, "Adam, what did you name these animals?" He said, "I don't know. I forgot."
Whoa, man!
Whoa, man! So
that made you charge it. That's
so funny.
That is hilarious. Thank you for that. Okay,
after he slept with her, he said, "Amen."
He said, "I did not give you the animals to tend to," and he said, "I don't know. I forgot about all of that."
It was so
that
he said,
"Oh, this is
man!"
The
then when he slept with her, he said, "Amen."
So full.
We're going to finish 3, if you don't mind, and then that's Apostle, Ephesians 3:10. And, well, since First Lady didn't read anything, Evangelist, if you don't mind, if she reads 1 Peter 1:12.
No, ma'am.
Okay, so Apostle 3:10, and then First Lady, okay. 1 Peter 1:12.
Okay.
And oh, here I go. All right, so you got 3:10. So in order that, but you know, it's funny. I just want to say this one thing.
Yes.
It's how they have power over her head, and on one that has symbol of authority. That's amazing. That was different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here it says in okay. So I'm at Ephesians. 3:10 says, in order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. All right, and Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. Okay, church. But in relationship to the angel, you know, it shows you how observing the church order. Okay. So it's observing how the church order in church, you know. So it's one of those type of things.
Okay. I just want to read this part. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm good. I'm only kidding.
Okay, I just want to read this part from Ephesians before verse 80 comes. Ephesians 3:8-10, and this kind of, like I feel, I know I'm not a preacher, but this is what Paul says. And here I am preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so can you explain to us what exactly does that mean to you? Because you can see
to
it.
Me.
So
this
can
is,
you explain it, like, kind of like,
yeah,
break it down to us? Like, what does it mean?
I will.
By you reading it, we can't
give
see
me the floor.
It, so.
Give me the floor. This is Paul saying that I'm preaching and I'm writing things that are way over my head. I don't even understand what preaching about, but
that's
it's,
what I'm saying. Who is saying that?
He said Paul. I just said Paul. This is Paul talking. This is Ephesians. Paul is talking, and he says, "Here I said he's talking like I feel. Here I am teaching, and I'm going through stuff that's way over my head. I don't even understand, but trying to make it plain what God has created all this." Why he's created all this in the first place. Okay?
Well, I don't understand how that relates to Ephesians 3:10, because it says,
yes,
in order
that's
that
what
any,
I'm...
Can I just
You asked me
say
to explain it. Now give me a minute.
I'm just saying this. Like, I have, it says, in order that many-sided wisdom of God might be made known to the ruler and the authorities in the heavenly places through the church. So here he's making a statement that directly deals with the Ephesian church, and that this wisdom, this revelation of God, this, you know, this gospel of Jesus Christ you know, that, you know, this extraordinary thing that has taken place. This Holy Spirit, this anointing.
What was that?
That's what he's saying, like this many-sided wisdom of God, the order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places through the church. So rulers and authorities are like angels as well. In this thing, from what we've learned, rulers and authorities are angels. So we have to look at that carefully when we read it, the text, to see what he is talking about. Because they live in the age of dealing with angels. Everything that's happening to them is supernatural. You're talking about Paul, who has had this holy visitation from Christ. So when they say stuff, we got to look at it from their perspective. So here, you know what I'm saying? Like, according to the text, that's where the angels seem to come in here, in the text here, where he says that in order that the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and their authority. So those are, remember he says rulers and authorities in heavenly places through the church. So, but rulers and authorities can be rulers and authorities in angels of God, and they could be rulers of authorities and angels of Satan. You have two sets.
Can I read something to you?
Speaking up in terms of what we've learned from this teaching, what it has taught us about angels. Now, all this is about the angels, and we need to be able to reflect on what we've been taught to apply it to the text. And according to the text, he says rulers and authorities. The question is this: which rulers and authority? Is it the rulers of authority of the angels of God, or rulers of authority of the angels of darkness? Which one is it?
Could I say, I think it's the angels, the demonic forces, because with heaven, there's only one authority, and that's God. And you're saying authorities here. Authorities is the rulers in darkness, the demonic forces. Those are the
rulers. Mother, we did a whole thing on angels, and they're not all demons.
Good or bad.
But I'm saying angels have authority, but is it God that has the authority?
What did you say, Nadine? I don't understand. What did you say?
I said the angels that are called authorities and the angels that are called power, they're not
rulers.
All rulers and authorities. They're
they can
not
be both. They could be either.
They can be either. They're not. That's what I'm just saying. They're not all evil. They can be either.
That's what I said. It depends on.
I know.
But that's exactly what I said.
Okay, can I just read this, please? This is coming from Ephesians 3, and it goes up to 4. As you read, this is Paul talking. As you read over what I have written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. And then it goes back to 7. This is my life words. This is still Paul. helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise. God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along, through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches. This extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, like, I would need to be able to cross-reference it because I can't see it. So I'm saying, like, for this reason, I, Paul, the sinner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the administration of God's grace.
What are you reading? What are you reading?
Ephesians 3, right?
Mm-hmm. 3
Ephesians
and 1.
3 and 10 now?
Right. I came from Ephesians 3. So Paul
three and
is
what?
Talking about.
From the beginning?
Well, this,
3 and 1?
Let me see. Wait a minute.
Because I just read 3 and 4 through 3 and 10.
No, I came from... Wait.
I mean, I have the commentary for that in the Bible that makes it very simple. And it's just the commentary in the Bible.
Before we go to the commentary, I like us to think about it for ourselves. That's somebody else's opinion. So I like us to think about to read the commentary anytime. What do you get out of it before you read what somebody else thought about it?
Well, I mean, like, it depends. I mean, like, sometimes, you know, it depends. Like, sometimes you can interpret it, but sometimes you do need the commentary because you don't have.
Can I just say what
I'm saying? I'm just making this point. Consider that sometimes you can give a person, ask them about a scripture, they don't have the background information and come to a decision about it. So sometimes the commentary will help that person understand the scripture. You know,
it just opens
to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think you have to cross-reference a lot because you like the Message Bible, but you're the only one that has it. So you have to cross-reference it. Sometimes you have to show how yours relates to the New American Standard or the King James Version. You know,
if you
because
have an opinion,
you know,
Thank you. That's all I want. What do you think?
So yeah, you're right. So that the multifaceted wisdom of God might be known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's 10, right?
Okay. Now,
so
what does Nadine think?
So after reading, you started from verse 1. I started reading the Bible from 1. That Paul is basically saying that the insight that he has into the mystery of Christ, you know, was not revealed to other generations. It was revealed to him through the Holy Spirit, and that same revelation through Christ will be revealed, not all, but to the Gentiles. And also, as we go on to to, you know, as you move on to 10, that the mystery of salvation was also had been known and revealed to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And as far as rulers and authority in the heavenly places, Mother, the commentary says that rule and authority and power and dominion, these words in rabbinic thought of the time describe the different orders of angels. And we went through these different orders.
Yeah, but let me explain something to
they're
you.
Called,
I said, you see here where he uses, this is why it's important to understand the, this is why we use the American Standard Bible.
Wisdom of God.
And the reason why is because it's closest to the original Greek text. So here, he would have used, when it's transcribed from the Greek, the words what he would have used was power, or, you know, authority. When he uses those words, we read it, but we may not be actually interpreting it the way he means it.
Right.
So that's why
gotcha.
You have to follow the course of study. Why they taught you powers, authority. They taught you that first so that when you see it and you recognize it, you go, oh, no, he might not be talking about good angels. They could be talking about satanic angels here. So you now have a closer lens into the text because you understand how the writer, his style of writing and why he uses certain words and what he means when he used those words in terms of what the text is saying. So when you preach, I'm not preaching me, I'm only preaching
Mother.
What the text says. You know, is,
you want can Mother say something, please?
You know.
No, I was saying in verse 10 it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. And I understand principalities and powers to be demonic forces in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifest wisdom of God. So in other words, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices.
I agree with you, but I was just making
Apostle, can I say something here, please? Let me conduct. When we're talking about the word of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels, I don't think we're talking about demonic, you know, bad.
That's right.
A badness. We're talking about the angels that are doing good things.
Right.
Amen. They
well,
wouldn't be spreading the good word
of
Jesus.
I can finish? And I tell you,
when
I can tell you why.
To the church, it has to be principalities and powers.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I tend to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why.
But let her finish so we can hear what she's saying.
Let me just tell you why.
I
know what
hear
she's saying in terms
say.
Of powers, principalities, and we all
listen
agree
to,
with
listen to, child, listen to verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. You see, tribulation. For you, which is your glory. It's not talking about all good things. Well, this cause
no,
I
they're
bound
not talking about
my need
mother,
unto
you're
the
right.
Father. Mm-hmm.
Trying to make a point. I was trying to show you exactly what the point is.
Go ahead.
When she's talking about, when we talk about principalities, power, authority, we look at the style of Paul's writing, uses those words in with certain, and he uses it in different places. When he uses them, it tends to have a darker connotation most of the time when he uses those words. And that's the point to that. And the reason why I say that is because we're talking about the mystery the mystery of the gospel is that Christ came in the flesh, walked among men, was crucified, buried, rose from the dead. That's the mystery of the gospel. That's what we actually, this is what was taught to Paul by the Holy Spirit. Because Paul did not walk with Christ. So once you get the story of Paul, then you understand why he makes this whole ordeal that, look, I get this from the Holy Spirit. This is coming from, I've been chosen by God. I'm a slave to God because supernatural things have been happening. I was blinded on the road to Damascus. These things happen to me, yo. He ain't playing when he say that. So you got to get his thing. Like he's a really spiritual cat that deals with supernatural, spiritual things. And he sees his whole suffering is based on grace. Because grace is Christ. Christ brings his grace. In other words, without Christ, we have no grace. So we learn how to walk through Christ and how to, you know. So that's the thing here. So the thing is to understand what being. So this is why he's saying it goes through when he says the mysteries. He says with intent when he says here, he says, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heaven. So in other words, this is a spiritual battle field that we're dealing with. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And this is a spiritual field. So there's times when he speaks in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where he speaks in the natural. And you have to be able to kind of look at it. So, you know, there's times where people disagree on the way they interpret things. It happens in scripture all the time. You know, but that's just the way it. I see it. That's my reasoning saying that. Because, you know, this is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. That's what he's saying to the church. Because that's what's basically standing in the way of Christ.
Principalities, in the way of what?
Powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. That's what he's saying. That's Paul's deal. Paul is a spiritual cat. Everything about him is spiritual. He's not a big dude. He's not gruesome. He is really a spiritual cat who does spiritual things. Folks have gotten healed and stuff. He's a spiritual dude. Got to get him. Got to get Paul.
Okay. Can we go on to round out this section 3, 1 Peter 1 and 12, First Lady?
Yeah. I had it and then I lost it. Okay, I'm getting it.
First Peter 1 and 12.
I said I had it and then I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for other things, mine and somebody else's business.
It's okay.
First Peter.
To whom?
I have it, Robert.
Let's go.
What one? You said First Peter. Which Peter?
1 and 12. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, First Peter 1 and 12 says, I'm going to read it from 10 because I really didn't understand 12.
Okay.
But it says, as to this salvation, the prophets prophesied of the grace that will come to you, made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the suffering of Christ
and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And so it's basically the prophets, you know, the prophets are from the Old Testament, and they spoke about the Gentiles, and they, you know, they prophesied what came to be the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. They also prophesied about the suffering of Christ and the glory to follow, which is the salvation for all. So this was revealed to them, meaning the prophets, that they were not serving themselves. So they weren't at that point, you know, they weren't preaching to themselves. They were preaching of the future. So it says to you, they were preaching to you, which is which Peter is saying they were preaching about you in the future, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
So why do you think the angels long to look? Why do you think the angels long to look?
I think the angels long to look because they knew it was coming. Like they knew, you know, because they've been with God from the very beginning. And they all, I think the angels also anticipated, you know, the coming of Christ, the Messiah, you know, that they longed to look for the same thing because they were there from the very beginning. And they knew God's plan, and they longed to look for it to come to fruition, to be fulfilled.
But it says they're observing. So if they're observing, maybe
they're observing
things don't get so that there's no problems, because you know the angels protect things too. So the angels there to protect us, because there are other angels. There's a battle going on. Spiritual battle. So the angels desire to look to make sure things are going the way God have planned them to go.
Well, it says angels desire to look into God's work of saving people.
Right.
That's how that is, that angels desire to look. They were looking into God's work. They're observing God's work of saving people. So that's
okay. I wanted to ask you a question. I think you said the prophets from the Old Testament. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think they were only from the Old Testament? What about the ones in the New Testament?
What prophet is in the New Testament?
What prophets do we have in the New Testament? We have, okay, Daniel.
There are no New Testament prophets.
Yeah.
The ultimate prophet was Jesus Christ. But we don't,
okay,
and all of the writers, except for Mark, but all of the writers in the Gospels.
John was a prophet. John was a prophet. John was an apostle, a disciple.
He wasn't considered a prophet.
Okay, I'm not going to debate that, but what I'm saying is you're saying from the Old Testament prophets, we have the Messiah in the New Prophet, in the New Testament, even though he was talked about basically from the beginning.
But this is what this verse is saying. This is what the verse is saying, that the prophets predict
from the
coming
Testament
of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They predict
from the Old
the coming of the Messiah. The prophets predicted that, especially Isaiah, right? Isaiah is one of the major
Testament.
Prophets in the Old
Testament.
The
whole entire Old Testament is all of
okay.
it is predicted.
Okay.
They all predict the coming of Christ, you know. It's
I stand corrected. Okay. No problem. All right. So we're going to end it here.
Yeah.
We're over
it's
time. 8:30. Yeah. We had a good lesson. 8:30.
We did.
Y'all have to learn
can
to cross-reference sometimes. You know, if you don't understand it, don't be ashamed. Say, well, hey, can you cross-reference it for me? You know, Evangelist Hilda or my mother. You know, then you can read your reference, and then you can kind of compare the reference to how you read it, because I know sometimes it's confusing. So, y'all learn that, you know, that's what it's for, cross-reference. Different.
So
this way we can all bury the hatchet and
talking about,
you know, learn from each other's different versions of the Bible. Okay, and don't allow that to, you know, because you're not sure. Don't be afraid to say, well, look, I want to cross reference that. What I'm reading, because, you know, sometimes you don't want people to walk away and not understand what you're teaching.
Confused.
You're
exactly.
Teacher. So the main thing you want is them, you know, and then, you know, sometimes people are shy. So they won't come out and say, well, I don't understand. So I'm just letting y'all know. Just say, well, hey, can you cross-reference that?
Understand that also. We got that.
So that this way, you know, this way so that they'll, you know, feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Time.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
All right, guys.
Okay, so I want to close out in prayer.
Robert, you want to pray us out?
You want to pray us out? How's everybody feeling? How's everybody? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all got to do better than that for the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right.
Yeah, be happy. Don't be too sad. Sad where it rubs off. Be around sad folks. Next thing you know, you be sad.
I don't think we're trying
don't
to be sad. We're just trying to close
off. Sad and broke.
Okay, so we're trying
exactly,
to leave,
right?
So can you pray us out?
Don't stand too close.
That'll make us even more happy if you pray us out.
Rubs off, man. So anyway, God bless y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed today's service. Did y'all enjoy it? Evangelist Hilda, let's give Evangelist Hilda and Sister Barbara a round of applause. They're doing such a wonderful job. You know, pastors here, you got to be pastors sometimes.
Amen. All right, guys. Praise the Lord.
But I love everybody. I'm so happy to see everybody in the Word of God. That's what it is, growing in the Word. We growing. I'm growing. No, really, this is like
growing.
This is a really...
Good night.
You can say that to study this.
Good night, everybody.
Y'all not just study. Y'all not just showing yourself approved. Y'all shining for the
Lord.
Oh man, I'm
I have an appointment in the morning, so I gotta go.
I'm shining. Is y'all listening?
Yes, we are, but it's time to go.
You got to come on earlier, Apostle, so that you can, you know, we overtime now. We in overtime.
Y'all too much.
Way overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
So
you want to turn it over to Evangelist Hilda. God bless y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. God bless you. Love you guys. See y'all on
Saturday. God bless you all. God watch over us.
You too.
Keep us, keep us. In Jesus' mighty name. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.